Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. So I want to just start right off the bat on the homelessness crisis, which is the biggest issue for all Seattle voters and for the region really as a whole. What can you tell us about your beliefs in terms of how to address the crisis that has really plagued this city for many years now?
Well, we're not starting off with any softball, are we? Hey, the fact is that this council has no plan. We've been spending more and more money every year, and the problem has only gotten worse. And so it's time to basically follow best practices that have worked in other cities. And I can talk about the elements of what works, but it has to do with actually knowing our homeless population, what services are needed, coordinating service providers. Right now, there is no coordination amongst them or with city agencies. And we need to have a real-time list of actual housing options that are available so that when we're doing outreach to encampments and asking people to leave our parks and open spaces, we can provide the housing option that's right for them. It's a complicated issue, but the status quo is not sustainable, and it's time that we actually get a plan and implement it for the benefit of everyone in the city.
Sarah, I do want to ask you something very specific. You know that Compassion Seattle was very popular among Seattle voters, but we won't get a chance to vote on it. Would you have been in support of that?
I would have voted for it, and here's why. First of all, it was a plan written on paper. But more important than that, it contained an element that is missing from our response so far, and that is Seattle funding of mental health and substance abuse treatment. That's a huge issue. We should be offering that, contracting with service providers, because this is a driver and a result of homelessness. And so I supported Compassion Seattle largely because of that element, that it would have funded these services.
I could talk to you about 1,000 things, Sarah. I'm fascinated and very interested in this race with you and Nikita for a lot of obvious reasons. Now, you oppose defunding the police, if I'm correct?
That is true.
Okay, so I know you're proposing like zone changes to increase density in single family neighborhoods. Is there some part of that that can start to lean towards or breed more profiling, and how does that deal with the actions of police in communities of color?
Well, when I'm talking to people living in communities of color, I just met with Theo this morning of Island Soul. I've been talking to Justin of Arc Lodge Cinemas. People in neighborhoods that are impacted by crime tell me over and over again they don't want to defund the police. They want an effective police response. And I'm endorsed by Reverend Harriet Walden, Mothers for Police Accountability, and Victoria Beach, chair of the African American Advisory Community Council. And what we need is reform of the police, definitely, but defunding at a time of skyrocketing gun violence and rising crime across the city is the wrong idea, and my opponent wants to abolish the police. And so I believe that we can reform the police in a manner that keeps people safe and holds officers accountable for misconduct.
That's what I was about to ask you. So you talk about reform. I actually agree with you. How do we reform it? What are the ways?
Okay.
What are the things that we can do to get to where? Because I'm a black man from a black community in Seattle, and I don't want to defund the police. I do, however, want to be safe from not only a perpetrator, from police who have issues. So how do we do that?
Well, first of all, we recruit officers from black and brown communities. This will go far in building trust between law enforcement and the community, and it will overcome language barriers and basically establish more of what we call a community policing model. So that is one thing. Recruit and retain officers of color, number one. And then when we have enough officers, we need to bring our staffing levels back up, make sure we bring back the community policing teams and expand the crisis response teams, which provide a combination of uniformed officers and social workers to respond to people in crisis. But that is a role, I mean, that can help reform. We need to tie the new SPOG contract with compliance with the consent decree. We could also bring back the Seattle Police Academy, which used to be in existence to teach recruits that came out of the police academy that's basically run by the Washington State, to teach them the skills they need in a large urban city, de-escalation, anti-bias. So there is a lot that we can do to reform the police, and I think that that's where we need to focus. My opponent says abolish the police and that reform does not work. I disagree, and public safety is a core responsibility of the city government, and people need to feel safe.
Sarah, I want to go back to one more question about the homelessness crisis. One of the big issues right now is what's happening in our parks and on our sidewalks. Do you believe in clearing them if there are people who refuse to get services? I mean, what is your position on removing encampments?
My position is that we need to lead with housing first principles so that people can get into housing. Again, it goes back to being able to offer something that's available right now, and we need a whole army of outreach workers that are actual employees that are having repeat contacts with folks in encampments. I believe that people actually want a safer, cleaner place to live, and we have not set up the systems to do that. Now, when it comes to, last resort, if people still don't want to go, I believe that we need to clear encampments. Some people call it sweeps. I call it help. Why? Because as someone in recovery, I know that if you've got a vulnerability to addiction, just ignoring encampments makes the problem worse, not just for so we're not just talking about impacts to the surrounding community. We're talking about the people living in encampments. We have got to focus on getting them help, but we also have to restore our parks and open spaces for their intended use.
Okay, I want to talk about a different kind of housing, and this is in terms of single-family neighborhoods. I know Lorena Gonzalez and Bruce Harrell have talked about their differences, with Lorena saying that there shouldn't be any single-family neighborhoods that are solely single-family. What is your position on that?
My position is that we already transformed single-family zones when we allowed for up to 3 units per lot with the accessory dwelling unit legislation. So essentially, we've already gotten rid of single-family. Let's not talk about the changing of the name from single-family to neighborhood residential. The point is that I believe that we do need more residential infill, because we have a growing population and we have people that want to age in place. And on fixed incomes, they want to be able to rent out part of their property, and that's a good thing. And when I'm talking to people in neighborhoods that are undergoing the pressures of gentrification, they're worried about displacement, and they want to be able to stay in their homes. So I believe that we need to be very careful when we're talking about land use changes, because I don't think we should have a one size fits all, because we need to be concerned about individual neighborhoods and what they're undergoing. And when I'm talking to folks in the CD, they want to stay in their single family homes. They want to pass it down to their kids and grandkids. And so, that is my position. We need residential infill. We need more housing options for sure, duplexes, triplexes, etc. But we also have to keep people in their homes.
Okay. So then what role, in your opinion, does the council need to play in not just as far as homes, but Black businesses, right, and businesses for people of color in ensuring that the entrepreneurs and the businesses are present and thriving in Seattle?
I'm glad for this question, because I believe that access to opportunity to build generational wealth is key to transformational change. And I have been speaking with a lot of Black business owners. And so just this morning, access to capital, And I learned in our conversation this morning that lending practices are still biased and racist. And so we could use our leverage with the banks that the city of Seattle uses to ensure that, that loans are getting to where they're needed. Technical support, getting through, so, you know, everything from help writing a business plan to navigating our totally broken labyrinthine licensing and permitting system. A one-stop shop on the City of Seattle's website so that small businesses owners who want to start a business or grow their business know what they have to do and what licenses to get. And then finally, it is it's foreclosure prevention, both for homeowners and businesses who want who own their spaces. So there is so much that we can do, and I know what businesses need. I understand their difficulties, and I've informed myself on the specific issues that black business owners need. But here's the deal. Across the city, what I hear all the time is, I want somebody to stop throwing bricks through my windows. I would like not to keep getting ripped off. You know, ArcLodge Cinema, they were robbed twice in a month. And so public safety, again, is key to helping all businesses and especially Black-owned businesses, because oftentimes they're in high-crime neighborhoods. And so that is what I'm hearing across the board as well.
Another question, maybe two parts. So you're quoted, I believe it's saying Oliver's is like a policy extremist, right? I want to know in what ways, when you look at Nikita and you say she's a policy extremist, and could what she's presenting just be drastic solutions to drastic long-term systemic problems?
I think it's extreme to call for the abolishment of the police, or even to call for 50% defunding without a plan for keeping people safe first. That's one example. Another example is, I think that it's wrong-headed and extreme to create a new fund within the Parks Department to help people who are living in parks keep living in parks. That is, our parks are our commons and need to be restored to their intended use. And also, like I've already said, people need to be moved into housing fast. And frittering away money to set up whatever kind of fund is money taken away from building those units to house people. Those are two examples.
Sarah, okay, the dysfunction at City Hall is well documented. We talk often about all the different crises that the city is facing, although there are many areas where Seattle's doing well. You are the co-owner of Fremont Brewery. Why on earth do you want to run for city council?
Well, because I'm a policy wonk and I care about my city. I look around my city. I've lived here for 31 years. I have two sons, 16 and 17, and I see what's happening and I think, what happened? What's going on? We can do better. And I am running a change campaign to bring back accountable leadership because I care and because I think that local politics is where it's at. It's what impacts people's daily lives. And I also worked for 10 years as a legislative advisor to a city council member back when council was a functioning body.
Richard
so
Conlon.
I know this stuff.
That was
yeah.
Richard Conlon,
I
right?
know that. Yep, that was council member Richard Conlon. So I worked for him from 2002 to 2013 with a couple of years break to start Fremont Brewing. I understand that the daily block and tackle of governing is complicated. And I understand that good policy does not start with an agenda, which seems to be happening now. It starts with humility. It's and asking what can we do better, and then bringing people together, considering all viewpoints, hashing out the details of a piece of legislation, and then course correcting if we're wrong. That is not happening. So when you ask why am I running, because I think it's interesting. And I think the city needs help, and I'm the right person at the right time to do it.
We've got 30 seconds left, and this is a remark, but I want you to react to it. You are considered the more conservative one in this particular race. Have you ever thought of your name, the word conservative, being used to describe you?
Only in Seattle am I the conservative candidate. I grew up poor. I paid for my babies. I gave my babysitting money to pay the electric bills. I was a college student activist. I met my husband at WGO protests. I went to jail protesting the CIA on campus. So only in Seattle am I the conservative. I lead with the progressive values that are shared by the vast majority of Seattleites. But the difference with me is that I actually get things done. Yes, I own a small business, and small businesses are the fabric of our community and in the job creators. And so I'm proud that I provide for my community by offering jobs and healthcare. I don't think that's conservative. I think that is noble and common sense.
Sarah Nelson, we appreciate your time. Sarah is running for the City Council at Large, Position 9, and you, Seattle voters, will be weighing in just a couple of weeks.